760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning.
Hello, Atlanta, Georgia. This is The Morning Quest. We find joy in the journey. My name, well, I don't need to say all that. You heard it in the intro.
If this was video, you would see Allison.
You would see Allison. I mean, can you hear me?
Yeah. I hear you fine.
Okay, this microphone. I can't hear myself. So there you go.
Okay, we hear you fine. And you know what?
Let's pray.
We need God's help right now. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. And I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but if you want tickets to this Atlanta's Funniest Priest stand-up comedy show.
Wait another couple weeks to buy them?
Yeah, wait. I just show up at the door. And right. Yeah, you may get some. I mean, I hope there aren't any Catholics out there scalping tickets. I feel like they'd have to go to confession right after. But you're going to want to get a ticket today. There are 50 tickets, general admission tickets left. All the VIPs are sold out. 50 general admission tickets. And they're selling about 30 to 60 tickets a day. We sold 7 tickets during the show yesterday.
Wow.
I haven't even looked at yesterday's ticket sales. But I mean, this thing can sell up to 60 tickets a day. All these tickets could be gone today. So
noon today is exactly 1 week that they've been on sale.
Exactly.
And it might take exactly 1 week for these to sell out.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. We're going to have to get a bigger venue next year.
Absolutely.
Triple the size or something. But this
Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Benz Stadium. Yes,
that would be awesome. But truly, I mean, when you get to see your priest in action, it's beautiful. We have a beautiful gift here.
We really do. Mm-hmm. It's going to be absolutely awesome. So get your tickets literally today. I'd love this to see you there. But if you don't get them today, maybe there'll be some left tomorrow.
Maybe
not. Mm-hmm. I don't know. My inbox is blowing up because I'm notified every time. Tickets sold. Yeah, funnypriest.com, funnypriest.com. One night only, 6 beloved Atlanta priests step out of the pulpit onto the stage to debut their own, get this, original stand-up routines. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're going to be working with you.
Yeah. I mean, if they so choose, I'm coaching some of them to kind of, help them get those killer stand-up routines to the finish line.
And you'll coach me, too, on mine.
I will coach you on yours, yeah. You've had some experience, though.
Yeah, I've done stand-up comedy before. Not, like, I'd never toured or anything. I just did some amateur stuff, and I got paid a couple times for little things.
So you're a pro.
I guess.
I want to see Dave in the attire.
But you've been writing comedy professionally for quite some years
in radio.
I mean, you are a professional comedy writer.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he uses it all the time in the studio.
And Dave is very modest, but you've worked on some major, major radio shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah. Writing comedy, being a personality. So you...
Nationally syndicated shows, too.
Nationally syndicated and writing comedy for those shows, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're a professional comedian, and you're a comedy writer. That's pretty big for major platforms.
Don't be saying all this. Now people are going to expect things.
And we're so blessed to have Dave here with us.
And so Dave's going to be on the show, Atlanta's Funniest Priest, representing the fathers.
Right.
We have the priest, the spiritual fathers, and we also, we want one biological father.
They'll tell the father jokes, I'll tell the dad jokes.
There you go.
I love that.
So, hey, by the way, I just want to mention this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I should have got his permission before I said this, but I don't think he's going to mind. But I came home from work last night, and my son, who, kind of a long story, but during COVID, he had a hard time. He never made his confirmation. And so on his own, he's an adult now, so on his own, he went and contacted the church. And he was on his way out the door. I said, where are you going? He goes, oh, I'm going to RCIA, OCIA, you know, they, because I'm going to get confirmed.
Praise God.
Wow. So I'm like,
oh, awesome. The Holy Spirit's working, as always.
And you always worry when they get to be that age that they're, you know, which way are they going to go? And so I'm so pleased. I mean, there was no nudging from us. He just did this on his own, so...
Amen. I was what so a beautiful pleased. Story,
Father. That is amazing.
I loved it.
Did you shed a tear?
Maybe.
That's pretty... Go, Dad. That's a double victory, man.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And where's he going to? Where's he going to? OCIA.
Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. Well, keep him in. Can we get his first name to pray for him?
Seth.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we say for Seth really quick, a glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
Abigail Goslin with Healing Disciples Ministry begins her five-part micro-retreat experience on healing. Today's topic is identity as disciples living beyond the humdrum. Our memory verse for the week is Psalm 139, 13 through 14. You formed me you formed my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my very self, you know. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with Our Lady of the Rosary, Saint and Saint Pope Pius V. Father Scott Riley, pastor at St. Brendan the Navigator in Cumming, Georgia, reflects on today's gospel reading. But next, we have an encore presentation. Kevin Matthews, radio legend, spoke with us about his new movie, Broken Mary, the Kevin Matthews story, in theaters today only, October 7th.
Partly sunny today with a chance of showers and thunderstorms later this afternoon with a high of 81. It's 67 at 8:07.
Finding joy in the journey. This is The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio. AM 1160, The Quest.
We are joined by Kevin Matthews discussing his movie Broken Mary, the Kevin Matthews story that will be in theaters on October 7th for one day only. So glad to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Oh, we're delighted. And our production manager here, Dave, he just has many, many great memories of you. I want him to chime in.
I lived in Southwest Michigan in the late 80s, early 90s, and I was a huge Kev head. So,
well, thank you. How about that? There was 10 million of you.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had an incredible career in radio, but all things change, and I am having a better time now.
Praise God.
If you would have told me 30 years ago that I would be taking a concrete statue of Mary that I found at a dumpster around the country, I would say you're high. And, you know, but I'm also so blessed. The story, you know, it's not my story. This is all God. And it's not my story. It's our story. We're all broken, but we're loved by God. And just watching Charlie Kirk, that tribute yesterday, his wife, hearing you talk, you know, she freed herself as well. And Charlie's wife was so devoted to our Blessed Mother. And no one knows more suffering and pain and loss than our beautiful Mother Mary.
Yes.
And I found a dumpster. I had hit rock bottom. I was born Catholic, but I was a zombie Catholic. You know, I have children. I made sure that they got the sacraments. But as soon as that was done, I'm out of the church. And I had hit rock bottom, and I hear the Holy Spirit. I used to say, I heard a voice. No. I had a dear priest say, no, Kevin, that's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Say, get your wife some flowers. And there's no such thing as a coincidence. I look up, there's a flower shop. I get out of my car. I'm walking towards the door. Over to my left, I see a dumpster. But also on the ground, I can tell that there is a statue of the Virgin Mary lying on the ground. and I walked over to it. I looked down. Mary's looking at me. She's broken in half at the waist. Her hands are missing. She's sunk in the mud. She's covered in garbage. And wait a minute. I'm not an angel here, but this is wrong. This is the mother of Jesus. And then I did hear clearly and sternly, will you deny me? Will you deny my mother?
Wow.
Wow.
And so I, yes, will you deny me? Will you deny my mother? And what had happened, that was 10 years ago. And I'm so thankful that I didn't drive by the floral shop. Otherwise, I know I would be in hell and gone. But here I am today. And the story is getting that statue. And I could speak for an hour here, but what I do know, I've written two books, and here we are, this movie. I did not go to Hollywood and pitch this. I was speaking. A director heard me from ODB Films, and here we are. God knows exactly what he's doing, and I just look at the time of the world right now. We are broken, and look at how many people... I cannot believe what I saw yesterday in that arena, how many people are literally letting go and falling into the Sacred Heart of Christ.
Yes. Wow.
And I know God is using me. I made a vow to Jesus. I said, Jesus, look, I am nothing but a shepherd dog. I can't walk. I'm old. I'm tired. I'm bruised. But any lamb that comes to me, I'll, without biting, without barking, I'll move them to you. That's all I have in life, is I just want to be a shepherd dog of Christ. Wow. And I want everybody to see this movie, because it's not like, oh, I did a take of the movie or whatever. No. It's a beautiful, beautiful story about we're all broken. And as long as we're living on earth, look at what Charlie's wife did. In a second, I forgive him.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Jesus says. When you just turn and go to him and say, Jesus, I am so lost. Help me. Come to me. Mm-hmm. Come to me. I forgive you. I love you. I love you.
Wow, that is so powerful. Oh, my gosh. And what a witness, man.
You wouldn't believe it.
You said something that I thought was really poignant. You know, you talked about your health challenges, and now you are kind of like, I think that's that St. Francis prayer, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. And it's like, you're just becoming an instrument, you know, and an instrument doesn't play itself. You are letting God, you know, call the tune. Yeah. And so how has your relationship with God changed, right, throughout, you know, before your health struggles now? And like, and how does this statue kind of, how does this new mission breathe life into your apostolate, your call, Christ's call in your life?
I realize now God is the most important thing. God is more important than my wife, my son, my daughter, my grandkids, because without God, I have none of that.
Yeah.
And I have none of that. When I found this statue and I got the statue and I put her back together, I was slowly going back to church. And I said to Father Mark, I said, Father, where can I get her fixed? He told me he came and blessed her because I wanted her washed. She was in garbage. Mm. And the minute I did that, the people that have taken her, I said, she doesn't belong to me, take her. And she's been in hospice. She's been in emergency rooms. She's been in prisons. Our Blessed Mother has been with the most broken. Yes, it's a statue, but I guarantee you where this statue is, God is, and Jesus and our Blessed Mother are. I'm with her now.
Wow.
I used to hang out with strippers. Now I hang out with priests and nuns.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm, you know, but at the same time, I'm with Father Josh right now. We're getting ready to film a small documentary on the rosary.
Wow.
I love the rosary. And I always say that the rosary is Mary's umbilical cord. It's how she feeds us Jesus.
Mm.
And I have found so much peace inside our Blessed Mother's rosary. She's the one. When I went to that flower shop and I heard Jesus say, will you deny me? Will you deny my mother? I got that statue back by the mercy of God. And it was God said, I am going to leave you with my mother, and she's going to clean you up. That was 11 years ago, and I've spent every day, every hour, every second with our Blessed Mother.
Wow.
And she has done just that. She's cleaned me up.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I love that, Kevin. So what do you hope every person who watches Broken Mary walks away with, and how do you want this film to move their heart or change their lives?
That there is hope, but at the same time, you are loved. All you have to do is just let go. We are loved. We all are broken. Even the Pope from everybody, we're all broken, and the Pope would say that.
Yeah.
But we're loved by God. Go to him, because once we die, in a nanosecond, we are in front of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And there's no, let me get my resume together. Here's my 401k. Hey, here's what I think I was pretty good. No. He will know you or he won't.
Yes.
So starting today at this moment, say, Jesus, I want to know you. Come into my life. I am so broken, Jesus. I have nothing left.
Wow.
I give my brokenness, everything to you. You know, it was in Jersey last week speaking at the Fatima Shrine up northern New Jersey, and a priest, these people come into our lives.
Yeah.
And this priest, an angel, said to me, Kevin, because I have MS, he goes, Kevin, your stigmata is your MS.
Mm.
I love that, because I've always taken my pain because of somebody like Bernadette Subaru of Lourdes, who
yes.
was so, she was in so much pain. She gave that pain for the conversion of sinners. She gave it to Christ for the conversion of sinners. And I do that now. But when this priest said that, it gave me, oh, that is so beautiful. It's my stigmata. And when we all have, you know, our sight is gone, or we can't walk, or we are having hardship, that is your stigmata, and that is the most precious gift you can give to Jesus Christ, is your stigmata, is your pain for the conversion of sinners.
Amen.
Wow, that's fantastic. Really quick, before we have to split to the next segment, but where can people go to learn more about this incredible film and your work spreading the good news?
Well, you can go to BrokenMaryFilm.com and find the theater near you. It's in 1,000 theaters.
Wow.
BrokenMaryFilm.com. Yes, this is out of my league, folks. When God decides to do something, he does it with grandeur. And 1,000 theaters. How many rosaries are going to be held for the first time?
Wow.
Instead?
Yeah.
I'm just like a little kid at Christmas.
Praise
wow.
God.
Thank you so much for your yes to God, Kevin. Once again, we've been speaking with Kevin Matthews, talking about his film Broken Mary in theaters for one day only, October 7th. Go to BrokenMaryFilm.com to learn more. Thank you so much, Kevin.
God bless you all.
God bless you.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Abigail Goslin with Healing Disciples Ministry begins her 5-part micro-retreat experience on healing. Today's topic is identity as disciples, living beyond the humdrum. Our memory verse is Psalm 139. You formed me in my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am wonderfully made. Our buddy Chet Persner helps us get acquainted with Our Lady of the Rosary. And in the process, also, St. Pope Pius V. Father Scott Riley, Pastor St. Brendan the Navigator, coming up next, reflects on today's gospel reading. Oh, by the way, if you'd like to comment on something you've heard on The Morning Quest or make a suggestion, send us an email to themorningquest@thequestatlanta.com.
This is The Morning Quest.
Father Scott Riley, pastor at St. Brendan the Navigator, is back, and he is going to be diving into today's gospel. Good morning, Father.
Hey, good morning, Allison. Good morning, Josh.
Morning, Padre. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thanks be to God.
Woo-hoo.
And today's gospel is from Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me. The Lord said to her in reply, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, I think we all of us have Martha inside of us. All of us have Mary to one degree or the other. You know, I think so that we don't give Martha a bad rap, you know, because, you know, she changed from that moment on. It was a hard lesson because how often we find ourselves in the midst of serving, helping, and other people are not carrying their weight according to our point of view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we can cast all sorts of eye daggers at them and judgments and, you know, get off your tuff here, you know,
yes.
get, you know, start helping me out. You know, you're just so that whole aspect of judgment, it shows it's a burden. It really weighs us down. The serving wasn't the burden. She loved to serve, but it was the judgments that she cast at Mary. And everything became burdensome. When we can free our hearts of judgment toward others, the work becomes light. The burden is light, as Jesus says, because we're doing it out of love for him.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we choose the Lord, we choose the better part. And the Lord isn't telling Mary, just pray all day to God, my Father, and everything's be great, because life is life. And, you know, things have to get done. People have to eat. People have to be dressed.
Yes.
People have to have shelter. That's why there are corporal works of mercy, and we will be judged on that. But on the flip side is Mother Teresa told, St. Mother Teresa told her nuns, I think early on, I've heard this. I didn't actually read it, but I heard it, that she said, I seen the video, if you think this is social service, you're gravely mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is not social service. We are serving Christ in these people.
Yeah.
We're showing them the face of Christ. And therefore, they dedicated a time to prayer. They weren't all day long serving. They had a schedule. They had religious life. They lived in community. Then they did go out. But the going out was fruit of their contemplation of Christ, of fruit of their community work, of their community friendships and living together. So that's what I think one of the big lessons here is, and the anxiousness and the worries that they weigh us down so much.
Oh, yeah.
It is like you said, Father, it is kind of a seesaw, right? You want someone on both ends. So on one point, like, it doesn't make sense to be Martha unless we're Mary first. What do I mean? Right. Like, there's this thing with Mother Teresa you brought up is such a great example. I think one of the sisters said, we don't have enough time to pray with all, you know, or at least pray for an hour because we've got all this stuff to do. And she says, fine, we'll be praying for 2 hours a day now.
Right. Like doubling down on that to say, really, yeah, the Lord is the one who does the work. And there's so many great spiritual reflections on this, writers. Even in our Legionaries of Christ spirituality, we have a part there that a few numbers on that talks about being contemplative and evangelizing.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's a hard thing, but it's like in marriage, you know, the couples they have to have time for themselves to speak, to talk with one another, to pray, and then they're able to, you know, serve and first of all their kids and the family and then going out and being active members of parishes and apostolates and all sorts of good things like that. But yeah, we can't outrun our supply line, and that supply line is prayer.
And you know, as you guys are talking about this is something seriously that can be a struggle. I know this beautiful work I do, like, you know, getting to talk to you, Father, and other priests and Bible studies and our gospels, I feel like I'm being fed, you know, through my work, but it is so hard sometimes when I'm at home with the kids, just taking time just to be silent and still in front of Christ. I mean, it is a struggle for me and I desire it. So this is really speaking to me.
Good, good. You know, I don't, you know, like a takeaway even maybe,
yes,
you know, we could talk about here is being adamant to carve out time in the morning for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's putting first things first.
Yeah. Amen. That's a great point. And I bet too, Father, I mean, so, you know, we lock into prayer, and that's when I think it makes more sense to go into the role of Martha, is when we've been sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary, and our cup is full, so we have something to share with others. And I bet as a pastor, you are grateful there's some Marthas on campus helping you out, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, we got Marthas, which is a gift. And they, too, have the spirit of Mary, which is, so that's what makes it, you know, so workable. You know, like there are people that are, you know, they're engaged in many ministries, apostolates, which we call them, and they spend time in adoration, you know, and other parishes have adoration too, you know, so that really raises the tides for all ships to rise, you know, within a community, which
That's
is so good.
Beautiful.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Father Scott Riley, Pastor St. Brendan the Navigator. We are truly blessed by another fantastic gospel reflection.
Well, thank you, Josh and Allison. God bless you both.
It is 8:29, and from the Catholic News Agency, in the heart of Rome, centuries-old manuscripts are getting a new digital makeover. The Vatican Library, home to some of the world's rarest texts, is now using artificial intelligence and robotics to protect and share its invaluable collection. Long before computers, Catholic monks meticulously hand-copied ancient texts into Greek and Latin. Today, the Vatican is digitizing about 80,000 handwritten manuscripts. This effort is not just about preservation, but about making these treasures accessible to scholars worldwide. Wow. As the Vatican moves forward with AI and robotics, one thing is clear: technology is helping to preserve and share the faith's intellectual heritage for generations to come.
You know, it's interesting about that. When I was over there for the canonization of Pier Giorgio Frassati and Carlo Acutis, I went to the archives for the Dicastery of Causes of the Saints, where they had all the books and causes for people's canonizations, and none of them have been digitized yet.
Mm.
So this is, this is pretty exciting.
Later on the Morning Quest,
Abigail Byron Goslin with Healing Disciples Ministry talks about her 5-part micro-retreat experience on healing. But next, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Pope Pius V and Our Lady of the Rosary.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It is 8:33.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. And, you know, October 7th marks the memorial of Our Lady of the Rosary.
Yes.
This was established in 1573 by St. Pope Pius V, the man who was at the forefront of this miraculous event that took place at Lepanto, and therefore the subject of our discussion today as we get acquainted with him. The purpose of this memorial, this celebration, was to thank God for the miraculous victory of the undermanned and outflanked Christians over the Turks at Lepanto, a victory attributed to the praying of the Holy Rosary. It was Pope Clement XI who extended the feast to the Universal Church in the year 1716. So let's set the stage here. In the year 1571, on October 7th to be precise, the Ottoman Empire attacked Venice at the Battle of Lepanto. They were intent on destroying Christianity forever, make no mistake. When this now legendary Battle of Lepanto was on the brink of being waged, the Ottoman Empire had not lost a major confrontation since the previous century.
Wow.
And their winning streak did not appear to be in the slightest bit of jeopardy. This would be a naval battle fought on the high seas, and it was believed that the Ottomans had upwards of 10 ships in their fleet for every one ship that the Christians sailed into battle.
Uh-huh.
So hopelessly outnumbered, it was Pope Pius V who urged everyone to pray the Holy Rosary. And they did. In fact, on the evening before the famous battle, the sailors prayed the rosary on their knees together. And on the day of the battle, it is believed that over 400 warships were engaged as things predictably intensified. Something inexplicable happened. The wind shifted radically at a pivotal moment, doing so in a way that was advantageous to the Christian fleet led by Don Juan. And Pope Pius V himself was on the bridge with the admiral. He was a true warrior pope. As the winds shifted, so did the momentum. And the Ottoman Empire was soundly and quite miraculously defeated, this despite their enormous advantage in size and firepower.
Wow.
This marked the first major victory of a Western Christian fleet against the Ottoman Empire. And for the Muslims, the results were utterly catastrophic. Approximately 40,000 men died in 4 hours.
Wow.
Equal to about 166 deaths per minute.
Oh, my goodness.
This is by far the highest casualty rate of any battle until World War I, sadly. It remains the largest naval defeat inflicted against the Muslims in history. On the heels of this stunning victory, it was Pope Pius V who declared this day the Feast of Our Lady of Victory in 1572 as an offering of thanksgiving, once again, to Our Blessed Mother, who appeared to Pius V in a vision prior to the battle, ensuring victory.
Oh, wow.
So we know now why they went in with such great confidence, despite the overwhelming odds. To put this victory in perspective, I'll use a sports analogy. I know people like sports analogies. It would be akin to Roswell High School taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And winning 49-0. I mean, just to kind of put a little circle perspective around this. And as for Pope St. Pius V and some of the other amazing highlights of his papacy, he was born Antonio Gislieri in the year 1504. Pope Pius V was the leader of the Catholic Reformation, implementing the reforms brought on by the Council of Trent. Mm-hmm. He established a catechism, a missal, a seminary system. He used the Tridentine approach to learning and preaching, had a residency requirement for bishops, and reformed women's religious life. In reality, all of this would form the foundation of the Catholic Church for the next 500 years. His papacy spanned the years 1566 to 1572, and he would die of natural causes in the year 1572, not long after the Battle of Lepanto, really. And on May the 1st was his day, his death, and that is actually his feast day. We're talking about him today because of this celebration, this memorial, because it was him who, I wouldn't say promulgated the miracle. I mean, only God is the only purveyor of miracles, but he used Pius V in order to bring forth this miraculous victory. He was beatified on May the 1st in 1672, and even 100 years to the day of his death by Pope Clement X, canonized on May 22nd in the year 1712 by Pope Clement the 11th.
Wow.
So here we see, once again, and we are in the month of the Rosary.
We sure
are. And this is really one of the crown jewel days in the month of October as we reflect upon Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of the Rosary. Mm-hmm. And it's a reminder to us that miracles, extraordinary miracles can happen when we make this part of our daily routine. Mm-hmm. Allison, I think you have some quotes as it relates to the Rosary. Many of the saints I would venture to say virtually all of the saints had a great devotion to the Rosary, but you have a few there that...
I do. St. Padre Pio,
of course,
which we all have a wonderful devotion to. He said, "The Rosary is the weapon for these times." And just knowing his intercessory prayers and just all he experienced, right?
Oh,
for him to say that he definitely loves Our Lady. Here's another one. Blessed Pope Pius IX.
Yes. Yep. And we've talked about it on this show. Yeah.
Yeah. "Give me an army saying the rosary and I will conquer the world."
Yeah. Famous quote. Famous quote. Sometimes attributed to Pius X, but it was actually Blessed Pope Pius IX who said that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Another one from St. Padre Pio. "Some people are so foolish that they think they can go through life without the help of the Blessed Mother. Love the Madonna and pray the rosary, for her rosary is a weapon against the evils of the world today. All graces given by God pass through the Blessed Mother."
Yeah.
So again, it's...
Yeah, yeah. And I'm glad you're leaning on St. Padre Pio for these quotes, because I heard one of, there was one program on The Quest this week. I knew that St. Padre Pio prayed a lot of rosaries throughout the course of the day, but there was one guest who was being interviewed on one of the programs who said that he would pray upwards of 37 rosaries a day.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? And I'm thinking about that. I mean, just to kind of put it in perspective, this means, because this was prior to the Luminous Mysteries being introduced in the year 2002, that means he's basically praying each of the three mysteries 12 times.
Oh, my goodness.
More than 12 times.
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, truly amazing. And, you know, it's just through the rosary, it just assists us to develop that truly contemplative spirit.
Yeah.
You know, anyone who prays the rosary regularly will never be far from the gospel, because mm-hmm. woven into these mysteries of the rosary are many of the seminal
Absolutely.
Gospel teachings.
Absolutely.
You know,
pointing to Christ, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So here's another quote, Chuck. Saint Jose Maria Escriva, "You always leave the rosary for later and you end up not saying it at all because you are sleepy. If there is no other time, say it in the street without letting anybody notice it. It will, moreover, help you to have presence of God."
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's so true. If you push it off to the end of the night, the odds are you're not going to get around to mm-hmm. it, or you may fall asleep in the process. What I've done and I've begun to do with my sister and I, we have our rosary walks every morning.
Nice.
We get up around 5:45
yeah.
and we walk through the neighborhood with our rosary. And in the case of St. Jose Maria Escriva, I know he speaks of praying it in silence, but you know, in this day and age, I like to have my rosary out.
Yeah.
I want people to see it. And I'll share an interesting story with you.
Please.
Just the other day, we were walking through the neighborhood, our
yes.
development, praying our rosary. And lo and behold, we looked across the street and another young girl was praying her rosary. We smiled and made eye contact with her. And I said, and I didn't notice it at first, but my
yeah.
sister said, "Did you notice that? She was praying a rosary." Now, I don't know if we rubbed off on her, but it was good to see. And, you
wow.
know, it's through our actions that others will see this. And I would imagine people see us walking through the neighborhood and they say, "Oh, there go the rosary people again."
Hmm.
I wish they'd get up on the curb, but that's another story.
That is hilarious.
It's an ongoing thing in our development. Why don't they walk on the sidewalk? There's sidewalks. We walk kind of in the well of the street. It's a long story.
Yeah. Well, listen to this one. This is Bishop Hugh Doyle, a quote from him. "No one can live continually in sin and continue to say the rosary. Either they'll give up the sin or they'll give up the rosary." So again, if you are struggling with a certain sin, pray the rosary, right? To
right.
overcome that.
Yep, and hopefully they'll give up the former rather than the latter
yes.
in that instance. But you're right, you're just immersed in the gospel life if you're praying the rosary. I'm up to like 2 or 3 a day now.
Yeah.
I was starting to fall off a little bit, was missing days, sometimes missing multiple days in the week. But I've just prioritized. And in fact, I've put some of my writing off to the side
yeah.
If I have to, because I think it's more important.
Yeah, and when I pray the rosary nowadays, I'm always popping somebody's name in there during the Hail Mary, right? So it's specifically, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for..."
That is great.
It just makes me want to pray it more, because I'm like,
yeah.
"Okay, Mother Mary, intercede here."
Yeah, because that's 50 people you can pray
yes.
for by name. And all know everyone needs prayers.
Well, and sometimes I do a decade for one person, or I do one of the mysteries for one person.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, we'll usually offer a decade for a person
yeah.
or maybe a group of people. You know, if we're praying the rosary on the day of the Feast of St. Denis, for instance, he's
mm-hmm.
the patron saint of those who suffer from headaches. Well, let's pray for everyone who's got a headache today.
Yes.
You know, or whatever
yes.
it might be. Sorrowful mysteries. I think of the mystery of the crown of thorns. I always offer that up in reparations for all the ingratitude and blasphemies against the Sacred Heart of Jesus
yes.
and the Sacred Heart of Mary. We usually offer up the rosary in aggregate for someone, and then we offer up the decades for
mm-hmm.
individual intentions, the souls in purgatory somewhere along the way. You know?
Well, and I think the key is too, not to rattle all the prayers off, but when you're praying them, think about and ponder what you're saying. That's the key to any of these prayers.
Yeah.
You know?
To plumb the depths of these mysteries, to dive deeply into them. You're not really focusing per se on the words of the Hail Mary,
yeah.
but instead the mystery that
mm-hmm.
you're praying, whether it be, you know, if you're focusing on the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother into heaven, you're
yeah.
not really necessarily focusing on the words of the Hail Mary, but you're going back to that scene, her being assumed bodily into heaven.
Yes.
And reflecting and contemplating on that.
Pope St. Pius V, he's the patron saint of Bosco Marengo, Italy.
Yes. Yep. That he is. And, you know, again, true warrior pope. And in light of the fact that today's story does involve a battle, an historic battle,
yeah.
we thought we would leave our listeners perhaps with this quote authored by servant of God Joseph Kentenich, perhaps someone we are not familiar with. I know I was not until I found this quote, but it seemed appropriate in light of the fact we were talking about a battle today. I think you have those words, Alice.
I sure do. He said, "The rosary is a sort of machine gun and atomic bomb, namely a weapon that is far superior to all the weapons of modern warfare in overcoming the enemy of God."
Wow. Great words. Great words, because the spiritual battle is real, this we know.
Absolutely.
Our Lady of the Rosary.
Pray for us.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Abigail Byron Gosling with Healing Disciples Ministry talks about her 5-part micro-retreat experience on healing. We are joined by Abigail Byron Gosling with Healing Disciples Ministries talking about her five-part micro-retreat experience on healing. So glad to have you with us.
Happy feast day.
Happy feast day to you too, Abby. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
So talk to us about the ministry, the Healing Disciples ministry.
Yeah, so I've been in ministry about 20 years now, and Healing Disciples is a rebranding of something that was once called Be Ministries, and you might know us by our Be Healed, Be Fed, Be Loved, Be Led retreat experiences. This micro retreat was kind of an idea that Allison and I came up with in talking about how to introduce something that was healing related. And I thought, well, why not just give you guys a micro experience of what we do on the retreats? I'll be honest, this is the first time we've ever tried to condense, you know, an hour and a half long retreat session into little 8-minute bites, but we'll see how this goes.
The Lord will make it happen.
So our hope is to just give you a breath in your day and to give you the ability to enter into the Lord's presence more deeply and to enter into relationship with Our Lady more fully. Our retreats are all Eucharist-centered, and they're all rooted within the mysteries of the Rosary. So if you're familiar with Sister Miriam, she has been talking a lot about the sorrowful mysteries of our lives and really trying to connect that within healing ministry in the church. We have been doing this with glorious mysteries. So that's what we'll be praying through together. The hope for this would be that, you know, today we would start off by praying the rosary, the beginning part of the rosary, and over the next five sessions, we'll do a decade of the rosary and meditating on a particular mystery of the glorious mysteries. So next week is the resurrection, but this week is the introduction to it.
Awesome. No, that is so beautiful. So how would you like to begin that?
Yeah, so we, I would like to begin the same way we begin our retreats, which is just allowing people to understand, well, that we know that you're caring a lot.
Yes.
That almost all of us are going through our day to day with a lot of burdens that are heavy on our hearts. If not personally, then, you know, we're oftentimes experiencing what's going on in the world, you know, and very much aware of that. And the problem is most of us are going through white knuckling things, you know, and like with our hands closed. And that posture, right, is the same as Adam and Eve in the garden after they grasped. It's this closed off, not being able to receive the fullness of what God has for them. So the first step in us entering into a retreat experience is to open our hands, right?
Yeah.
Open our hands, open our hearts, open our minds. We know that what we do with our body matters. And as we begin to allow our hands to open, we begin to allow our hearts to open, we begin to allow our minds to open, and our spirits open to God more fully as well, so that we can receive what He has for us. So I'd like to just lead you in a little prayer specific to that. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father, we thank You for being here with us. We thank You for the ways that You desire to help our hearts and minds be unburdened. In this moment, we just ask that You would give us the grace to let go. That anything that comes to our hearts and our minds, we can just entrust to You. That instead of them having to be in our hands or on our backs, we entrust them to You and to Your most sacred heart. And so in whatever way you might feel called, I would just encourage you to place these burdens into our Lord's heart. And as we do that, we'll also begin our rosary together, entrusting in Our Lady's intercession for all that concerns us. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
For an increase in faith, in hope, and in love. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
It's beautiful.
That is absolutely beautiful.
It's wonderful. I love that. And it's wonderful to see someone who comes on here with such a prayerful emphasis as well. And the fact that your retreats are Eucharistically anchored. Is that correct? What does that look like in your retreats, by the way?
Well, all of our sessions, like I said, are connected to one of the mysteries of the Rosary. And a lot of times, when you come on a retreat, we wait until like that Saturday of the retreat for you to have like the encounter with the Eucharist, right? We don't do that. We start right off Friday. You've got Mass every day. You're receiving the Eucharist if you are able to, every day. You're also having adoration every day, together as a part of one of your sessions. So Jesus really is like put first, and that facilitating of the encounter with him is what we believe to be the most important. We have a bit of a challenge in the church today in that as we talk about discipleship, right, we see kind of two extremes that are going on right now, both of which I think are rooted more in the world than they are in what Jesus would ask of us as disciples. And, you know, the two extremes being that many people have bought into the lie and the belief that their identity and their worth is only equated with what they can do for God. And you have a lot of people that are serving him who love him dearly, you know, but their identity is rooted completely in what they're doing for him.
Yeah.
And the hard thing that Jesus, you know, would want to say to that person is that if you never did anything ever again,
yes,
he would still love you.
Yes.
And he would still desire you to be in union and communion with him fully. Your belovedness is not contingent upon what you're doing for him. Now, the other challenge that we have, the other extreme we have in discipleship, is we have a lot of disciples that I think believe that there isn't an activeness to their discipleship, that they don't necessarily have to do anything, and that they're just perpetually kind of coming and desiring to be fed. And this is why the retreat is structured in such a way that it progresses through kind of all those stages and phases within the spiritual life. So fed is one of the sessions. Filled is the next session, because we believe that as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're given innate gifts and we're given a purpose and a mission that God desires to come, you know, and desires to bring about in our lives. And so you have a unique and unrepeatable mission that only you can do. And oftentimes the brokenness that we see in the church is really coming from the crisis of people not knowing who they are or taking up false identities in the place of who God really desires them to be.
No, that's beautiful, Abby. So you're going to be on for the next 5 weeks. Tell us what to expect.
Yeah. So each week we're going to be meditating through one of the mysteries of the Rosary, the glorious mysteries of the Rosary. So next week is the resurrection. And we're going to talk about the paschal life of the disciple and also talk about what might be keeping you on the cross or in the tomb. Because Jesus ultimately wants his disciples walking in the resurrection with him.
That's fantastic. That just means that music means we got a minute left. I'd love to know, where can people learn more about you and your retreats, your incredible ministry.
Yeah, so healingdisciples.com is the best place to find out about that. I'm also the director of faith formation and evangelization at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church, so would love to see you there as well.
And fantastic. Thank you so much, Abby Byron Goslin, with Healing Disciples Ministry, discussing your five-part micro-retreat experience. Look forward to having you back next week. Well, let's close this show out the holy way. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.